Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd Stiles. Glad you're joining us today here on Tuesday, August the 5th. And today I want to answer a question that someone asked me after services on Sunday. As you remember, if you were there or watched or listened already, our theme, our topic, our text was 2 Thessalonians 3, the first five verses. And it really is a continuation of Paul's prayer. In the first five verses, he gives the church a way to pray for him and his team, whereas in the earlier part of that prayer, which is the end of chapter 2, he tells the church how he's praying for them. So after concluding through the first five verses of 2 Thessalonians 3 yesterday, a church member asked me this question: do you have any best practices for prayer? And admittedly, there are many. I'm sure that there are many people who have much greater insight into prayer than I do. I am very humbled and appreciative for how God has grown our church in the area of prayer, especially over the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years. I myself have really experienced God's work in my life in this area immensely in the last 8 to 10 years. I've just journeyed with the church through that. So I'm very grateful for that, but I still feel like a novice and a beginner, and our church has a long way to go still. And so this person asked, are there best practices for prayer? We spent a good bit of time in the sermon encouraging us to pray for those we send, look to the text about what to pray, and this person just curious, are there other tips or strategies or best practices? And so I pondered that for a bit, and I wrote down four that have helped me. Things that I've implemented over the last 8 to 10 years, one of them I've been doing for almost 30 years, and they have really helped me experience prayer at a deeper level. And so I want to bring you those four. Again, I want to repeat myself. I'm sure there are a lot more, and there are many more that are probably better. But I'm just going to share as a pastor of our flock here the four that I think have really helped me a ton in learning to pray better and to pray in ways that I think would be more biblical. So number one, you may think this is odd, but here's the one that I've been doing for about 30 plus years that has probably helped me more than any other human tip I might could give you. And strategy or best practice number one would be this: to pray above a whisper. And I'm speaking here of when you're praying alone and in private. I have found it very beneficial and helpful to pray above a whisper. Here's why, because often, and there's really two reasons why, often we fall asleep when we pray. I mean, let's just be very frank and honest with each other. I suspect you have, and sometimes praying above a whisper is the way to stay awake or at least to keep your mind from wandering. And so there were multiple years, this is when I lived in Atlanta, that I would kneel down or I'd bow my head or I would be in a chair and I would just pray silently and have a list in front of me. But often my mind would wander. I'd forget, you know, what I was thinking about or praying about. And I heard an individual specifically talking about confession. And this person instructed us to pray above a whisper because it keeps our minds focused, keeps us awake, and this person said it will help you feel the gravity of your sins. So I began to try this, especially in the confession parts of my praying, and that's exactly what happened. I was able to focus and think in longer periods about one thing and talk to God about it, but in all frankness, the gravity of my sin did really weigh on me more as I said these things out loud. I didn't just group them in massive clumps, you know, forgive me for things I did today that were wrong. Forgive me for saying things that weren't helpful. I actually began to name the sins I committed and the people to whom I committed them, the persons against whom I sinned. I would call these sins out just above a whisper, and the gravity and weight of them really helped me fight them harder, and the joy of forgiveness was felt in a deeper way. So for those two reasons, one, it helps us focus and concentrate, and secondly, we do feel the weight of our sin and the joy of forgiveness in a deeper way. I want to encourage you to to pray, when you're praying alone, when you're in that secret place, to pray just above a whisper and watch what it does to your prayer life over the long haul. Best practice number two, pray in the Spirit. Now, this is a biblical command. We find this in Ephesians and Romans. Now, there is some question about what Paul means. I'm personally convinced that Paul there is saying to pray knowing that the Holy Spirit is helping you and with a confidence that he is relaying to God the Father the things that you can't even express. And so this helps us not be afraid to use the words we have to share our hearts before the Father because we have the Holy Spirit who is helping us. In fact, he's called the Helper. And I believe one of the ways he helps us is by praying for us, as Romans says, with words that we cannot even utter. And so I find it to be a tremendous comfort knowing that the Holy Spirit prays with us and prays for us. And so I want to always go to the Father in the name of the Son, in the Spirit, or with the confidence the Spirit is praying with me and for me and is uttering phrases, words, and speaking to the Father the things that I can't even put into words. The Spirit helps us. And so best practice number two would be to pray in the Spirit or with the confidence the Spirit is praying with you and for you. Now, the other angle of how that phrase is understood is that some believe that means they are praying in tongues. Because the idea of praying with the Spirit, or as Paul used it more technically, he said praying with my Spirit. Now, that's used in 1 Corinthians 14. Some think Paul there is referring to the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's what he's referring to there in that text. I think he's referring to his own spirit, the spirit of a person, and using a language that the angels know that is a heavenly language. God may give it as a gift, and it helps in personal worship. And so they would say that's what praying in the Spirit is. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're not. I'm not at all against the gift of tongues. I'm simply saying I don't think that's what praying in the Spirit is. I think praying in the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit, and it's the confidence that the Holy Spirit prays with us and for us while we pray. So that's best practice number two, to pray in the Spirit. Best practice number three would be to pray your prayers and write them down. You can pray them again, just the way you prayed them the first time. And I find that written prayers are very beneficial in that they help me to focus and to remember what God was doing at a specific point in time. And to be frank with you, just to help me to remember what I was sensing from the Holy Spirit and from God the Father in those moments. So I find that writing prayers helps me to succinctly aim at a specific target, to say it in a way that's memorable. And then I hold that with me and put it on my phone and my notes and my prayer lists. And I'll use that for a week, a month. Just really helpful to have written prayers. Many people like to journal, and often journals can be a place where we simply write our prayers to God. So it's very similar to that. I would remind you that some folks seem to have problems with written prayers. I'm not sure why, but I have heard folks say that they don't feel it's very spontaneous or they feel like it's a little too laborious. But I want to remind you that many of the writings we have from the Puritans and many of the Reformers, the things that they learned and discovered about God they've left with us is because they wrote them down. So I'm a big fan. I'm an ardent supporter of writing down not only prayers, but things we learn. I think it really is a benefit to the next generation and beyond. And prayers can be included in that. One of my favorite books is The Valley of Vision. And those are simply Puritan prayers written down for us and organized in a fashion that we can use them throughout each week and each month, even in seasons along the year. So let me encourage you to write down your prayers, share them with your family. You know, we often do this in church. We'll write a prayer that will apply to a specific point, cover a certain topic, and we'll share it for that week. We'll make it available on our social media platforms. Often we'll print out those prayers and distribute them in church. So let me encourage you, another good practice is to write down your prayers and use them and distribute them and hold them, save them, keep them. I promise you, your children will one day cherish the prayers you leave for them that are written down. And then the last best practice is this one. Pray both privately and pervasively. In other words, refuse to create a dichotomy between the two types of prayer mentioned in the Bible. The Bible describes prayer as a secret discipline. This is Matthew 6, that we should go to our closet and we should pray to our Father who is in secret. That's what the text says to us. But we also know that we're to pray without ceasing. And so instead of trying to divide those and figure out which one I'm going to do, just embrace both of those, that we can pray constantly while we're driving, washing dishes, being with our family. We can be in an attitude and posture of prayer. And in all honesty, we can be constantly lifting up our needs, things we observe, situations, requests to God. We can be lifting those up all the time. Prayer becomes more of the air we breathe. It's this relationship that's ongoing with God all the time. I think one older author referred to this as practicing the presence of God, that He's always with us. His Spirit is always indwelling us. So we have constant, immediate, ready access to God. So I would encourage you to practice this pervasive presence of God and always be in communication with God, talking to Him all the time about things that happen all the time, and just lifting up requests in phrase form, one sentence form. God hears your heart. He knows your mind. Just understand that at all times you can be in communication with God about all that's happening, what's going on in your life, people you're meeting, things you're doing. Just give everything over to God in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And yet, that doesn't mean we don't take disciplined time and specific action to bend our knees and take a posture of prayer in private and lift up our voice and our heart to God in a very secret, individual, intentional fashion. I would encourage you to make that kind of time in your day where you are entering your quote-unquote prayer closet. It may just be a recliner, so to speak, in the living room. It may be a prayer bench. It may be a sofa. It may be a swing on the outside porch, but somewhere where you can get alone with God. And this is where I think you should bring out your prayer list, those things you write down. And it's okay and perfectly fine to rehearse those to God. It reminds you of what's important, the things you're aiming at. There are certain things that Julie and I pray for every single day. And sometimes it does seem like you're repeating yourself, but it's a reminder of what's priority in your life, the people that matter the most, those in your immediate circle of influence. And it keeps those things front and center. I think that's very helpful. All of this, of course, occurs when you take the time in a very intentional, disciplined fashion to pray in secret. My point in this best practice is don't try to just do one or the other. Don't try to figure out if one works better. I think the Bible calls us to do both, to seek time with the Lord intentionally and privately, but to know that we are in God's presence all the time, that prayer can be a pervasive, constant, ongoing attitude of our hearts. So, best practice number four, pray both privately and pervasively. Let them both blanket your life. Now, we could say a lot more about prayer. I'm sure you could add to that list. And hey, you're welcome to email me any other best practices you have. Love to hear about them. But I wanted to answer that question, just help this individual, because these four have really helped me a lot. And I think they've given me some good traction in prayer. And I hope that our church has experienced some very specific traction as well over the last 8 to 10 years, especially. As we often say, prayer is our first and best action. And I'm so thankful to God that that's what we're learning more and more, that in every situation, every encounter, every need, our first and best action is to turn to God in prayer, asking Him for help, grace, and mercy in a time of need.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.